Marriage Today presents The Watch Choice by Jimmy Evans.
Let me say this morning, I'm finishing this Bow Down series that I've been on for 5 weeks. This message is called The Watch Choice. I'm talking about important choices in the world that we live in. This series, the subtitle is called When Christ and Culture Collide, We Must Choose. Now, I have mentioned in this series of messages that I believe we're living in the end times, and I do believe that. I've studied the end times for 36 years. I've been saved for 36 years. Right after I got saved, I began to read books and to study on this subject. 36 years later, I've read hundreds of books. I've preached dozens of messages on this subject. And after all of that, I am more convinced than ever that not only are we living in the end times, but I believe we're living at the end of the end times, and we are the terminal generation. I fully believe that we are the generation that will see the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I want to, this morning, I want to clarify and to just let you know why I believe that, because I don't believe it's a personal opinion that I hold. I believe it's something the Bible clearly says. Mark 13, Jesus is responding to a question from his disciples. And in Mark 13, they're asking him the question, what will be the sign when all these things are fulfilled? In other words, when is the end coming? There are parallel texts that we're going to read in Luke and in Matthew, all three. In Matthew's gospel, the disciples ask him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They're asking him a specific question. How will we know that the end has come? Mark 13, 28. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Let's stop right here. Jesus is saying that we will know the season of his coming by the things that he says are going to happen. Now, we're going to read these things in just a minute. So understand, he's saying you will know. Just like you know when the fig tree blossoms that summer is near, you will know when I'm coming because of the signs that I'm going to give you. Okay. Next, he says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Well, let's just stop right there. Now, he was living with a group of people in a generation, and 100% of those people passed away. So if he's saying this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place, he could not have been talking about the group of people around him at that time. He was saying this, when the end times events start, they will end in one generation. Now, every scholar that I know of believes that a generation is 70 years. I've heard a few people disagree with that, but in all the research I've done for many years, 70 years is a generation. The Bible says our days are 70 years, or if by measure of strength, they're 80 years, 70 years. Okay, so then he goes on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Here's what he's saying. Take it to the bank. What I'm about to tell you, take it to the bank. These things will absolutely occur. Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Let's stop. Jesus said we wouldn't know the day or hour, but he told us we would know the season. If anyone sets a date, if anyone says Jesus Christ is coming on this day, you know they're wrong, because we do not know the day or hour. But I'm telling you, we've been commanded to know the season. You'll see it here in just a minute. Take heed, watch, and pray. For you do not know when the time is, the day or the hour. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And the word watch there means to be vigilant, to be on the alert. And Jesus is saying, they're asking him a direct question. And they're saying, how will we know that the end of human history as we know it has come and that you're appearing? And he said, you will know. I'm going to tell you some things, and by these signs, you will know the season, and I want you to watch. What I'm saying to you people right here, I'm saying to everybody, you be on the alert and you watch. Well, let me talk for just a minute about why I believe that we're living in the last days. In fact, at the last of the last days, what are the signs that Jesus said would occur that are occurring? And the number one super sign is the return of Israel for the second time, the rebirth of Israel for the second time. This is Jesus now in Luke 21 now, and he's being asked here, when is the end? Luke 21, 24. They will fall by the edge of the sword. He's talking about the Jews, and they did in AD 70. And be led away captive into all nations. AD 70, the Roman general Titus, who later became the emperor, he came and he razed Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And it exactly happened the way Jesus said. In AD 70, they took the Jews, scattered them all over the world, razed the city of Jerusalem. But in 1967, in 1948, Israel, for the second time, was reborn as a nation miraculously. Listen, Isaiah 66 says, can a nation be born in one day? Israel was born in one day by a vote of the United Nations, exactly as the Bible said, May of 1948. In 1967, the Jews took control of the full city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was trampled underfoot by non-Jews until the time of the non-Jews was fulfilled in our lifetime. Now, let's listen to this. If a generation is 70 years, now listen to my reasoning here, because I'm not saying that this is absolutely true. I'm saying it could be true. In 1948, Israel was reborn. Now again, almost every scholar that I have read and know of believes that the prophetic clock began in May of 1948 when Israel was reborn. Listen, if a generation, Jesus says, the generation that sees these things will see all things fulfilled. If a generation is 70 years, Israel was reborn 61 years ago. That means we have 9 years left. And if we as Christians are raptured at the beginning of the tribulation, which is a 7-year period of time, it means we have 2 years left. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to scare you. I'm just trying to see if you're awake. But now listen, I don't put credence in Nostradamus and all that stuff, but you do know that the Mayans and Nostradamus both believed that the end would be in 2012. They predicted that. And so beyond the Bible and the things that the Bible is saying about the end times, I'm saying Israel being reborn. This is Isaiah 11, the same prophecy. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, Pathros, Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah for the four corners of the earth. It's happened in the last 61 years. It's happened. Jews from all over the world have immigrated back to Israel, and for the second time, it's unheard of that a nation would ever be reborn, period. But for the second time, it's beyond calculation. Not only was Israel reborn, the Hebrew nation was reborn. John Hagee, and I have a lot of respect for John Hagee as a Bible teacher and as a lover of Israel. John Hagee's father was a preacher in South Texas back in the 20s and 30s. And John Hagee's father, back in the 20s and 30s, preached something that some people branded him a heretic because of. And here's what John Hagee's father said back in the early 1900s. He said, the end cannot come unless two things happen. Now remember, this is before television, this is before computers, this is before any of these things, and Israel did not exist, and it seemed a complete impossibility that Israel would ever exist. He said, two things are going to happen before the end comes. Number one, Israel will exist. And everybody said, you're crazy. The church has replaced Israel, replacement theology. The church has replaced Israel. That's just allegoric and metaphorical, and that can't happen. And then he said this, Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses. And most people believe that the two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah, because Enoch and Elijah were two men in the Old Testament that never died. They were assumed up into heaven. The two witnesses that come to Jerusalem, and they have power to call fire down from heaven upon all their enemies. Don't you wish you had that? Wouldn't that be handy every now and then? That the two witnesses can call down fire from heaven on their enemies and shut up the heavens so there is no rain. And so the world hates them because they testify of Jesus Christ and they call down fire and stop the rain. The world hates them. And Revelation 11 says they are killed and their bodies are laid in the streets of Jerusalem, and the entire world watches them for 3.5 days and celebrates and sends gifts to each other because those two guys are dead. John Hagee's father in the early 1900s said this: the end cannot come until there is a way for the world to all see something at the same time. Remember Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, my words won't pass away. Take it to the bank, buddy. If Jesus said it, it's going to happen. And when the Bible says the whole world will watch their bodies in the street today through satellite technology, Fox News, CNN, all types of cable news networks, all every day we're all watching the same thing at the same time. When the Bible says it, it's going to happen. And what we're seeing right now is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy right in front of our eyes. Another sign that's happening before us that Jesus said would happen is wars and international tension. Matthew 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences. Well, there's worldwide war all over the world. You know, North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, this week, Central America, South America, you know, Africa, just all over the world. Worldwide terrorism and unsolvable problems. This is Luke 21. Again, he's responding specifically to the signs of the times. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Let me say, there are three things right now that are hitting the world. Perplexity means there's no answer. The economy, the entire world is locked into this economic event with no answer, perplexity. Israel and the Middle East, there's no answer. And worldwide terrorism, there's no answer. We are seeing distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, could be global warming there. Men's hearts failing them from fear. The word is phobos. It means fear and terror. Jesus prophesied worldwide terrorism 2,000 years ago. He said, in addition to all the other things I'm telling you, men's hearts will fail them for worldwide terrorism and the expectation of the things that are coming on the earth. Listen, the bad thing about terrorism isn't what just happened, it's what you fear is about to happen. The expectation of the things that are coming. Jesus prophesied it. Listen to this one. Worldwide lawlessness and hedonism is another sign of the times. Luke 17. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, I want you to listen to me. Jesus said, it'll be just like that. When I come, it'll be just like the days of Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that the world was filled with immorality and violence. And that's why God regretted that he had made man on the earth and flooded the earth. Okay. Likewise, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other will be left. So let me say this now. Jesus is describing the rapture. Two people standing side by side, and one is taken immediately, and the other one is left behind. Listen, he said it will be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. Now, let me give you some really, really good news. God did not judge the world in the days of Noah or the days of Lot until Noah and Lot were taken out safely. That's why I believe the tribulation does not occur on the earth. The last terrible 7 years of human history that the Bible calls the tribulation, those years don't happen until we're gone. There will be about 1 billion people instantly vanished from the face of the earth. And I'll show it to you again in just a minute. 1 billion people vanish from the face of the earth. One person here, boom, one of them is gone. And Jesus said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Just like in the days of Noah, there is going to be worldwide anarchy against me. There will be violence. Let me ask you a question. Is America becoming more violent? It's unbelievable. When you see on television, movies, just in our culture, how violent we're becoming in the world. Is America immoral and the world becoming more immoral? That's what happened in the days of Noah. Rampant immorality, rampant violence. He said it'll be just like that. But everything's going on as normal. Buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. They don't think there's any problem. But on the day the ark door shut, the flood came. He said it'll be just like that. Just like in the days of Lot. Lot, the community of Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, which is notorious for immorality. The angels, this was Abraham's nephew, Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And because of Abraham, God sent these angels down to rescue Lot and his family. And the angels went in at night to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot and his family out. And that night, the Bible says, Genesis 19, that all of the male residents of Sodom and Gomorrah surrounded the house and demanded that the angels be sent outside so that they could know them carnally, is the way the Bible puts it. The angels struck the people blind. And the next day, they took Lot and his family by the hand, and they said, we have been sent to destroy this city, but we can't touch it until you're gone. Good news for all of us. Just like it was in the days of Lot. Rampant homosexuality, rampant immorality, rampant anarchy against God. And the angels came and they grabbed Lot and his family by the hand and drug them physically out of the city. And on the way out, Lot's wife went and became a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember her. Listen, if you're more in love with this world than you are God, you got troubles. This is temporary, ladies and gentlemen. That is eternal. This is going to go up in smoke. That will never end. It is short-sighted and foolish for us to set our affections on something that we simply cannot keep. The old saying that a man is no fool for giving up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. And he took them out of the city. And after they got out of the city, fire and brimstone came down from heaven and he judged the world. Jesus said, just like those days, just like that. That's what it's going to be like. Two men will be standing in a field, one gone and one left behind. Two women grinding at the mill, one gone and one left behind. If you've ever read these left behind books, you see the picture of what's going to happen on the earth. Jesus prophesied that it would be just like that. And it is just like that. The only thing lacking is just the rapture. It could happen any moment. Worldwide persecution of Christianity, worldwide deception, worldwide spread of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. We are now living in the first generation that we have seen the world filled with radio television signals that carry the gospel. Iran is an example. Some of the worst countries on earth for the gospel are in the Middle East. And I want to give you some good news. Millions of people are getting saved in the Middle East. Let me tell you something I've heard now from several missionaries, and this is thrilling, I know, to all of us. You know, sometimes these leaders, these dictators, you know, they kind of put down an iron fist, like in Iran, you know, with these elections and all that. And they say, you know, Christianity is not coming in here. Jesus Christ has been personally appearing to Arabs all over the Arab world. And I've heard this now from several missionaries. Remember, the Apostle Paul was on the way to Syria. He was on the Damascus Road. And he saw Jesus personally, and it was not a man that led Paul to Christ. It was Christ that led him to himself. And now in the Middle East, we see churches coming. We see people appearing, Jesus appearing to people sovereignly. And I'm saying this, the gospel will go into all the world, and then the end will come. But it won't be the church that finishes the job. It'll be 144,000 Jews, according to Revelation 7. We'll do a lot, but they'll finish it up. It started with Israel, it'll end with Israel. So let me talk for just a minute about the importance of watching. And I'll close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. The Apostle Paul says, you know the day of the Lord is coming like a thief, but it shouldn't surprise you. I don't even have to write to you about the times and the seasons, because you should know based on what the Lord said. So let me talk for just a minute about the importance of watching. When Jesus said that we're supposed to watch, what does that mean? Why is it important? Number one is it keeps us pure. Let me ask you a question. If I told you that Jesus was coming at 6 o'clock this evening to get ready, brush your teeth, put your best clothes on. If you knew that Jesus was coming tonight at 6, would it change the way you live between now and then? Anybody? Would you be more careful? That's the whole point. This is what 1 John says. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. When you're watching, you're living a different life than when you're not watching. This is Matthew 24 about the end times. If that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is Luke 21. Again, same text in Luke. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says here, this event, this day is going to come as a snare on everyone on the earth. And here's what it means. A snare is an animal trap. And when you walk past a snare, you trip it, and instantly it takes you away, or instantly it grabs you. And Jesus said, instantly, there will be a snare on the entire world. This event is going to come instantly on the face of the whole earth. Pray, therefore, that you would be willing, be worthy to escape. Now listen, sometimes when I preach on the end times, you know, people criticize me and they say, you know, you're just an escapist and you know, you're saying all these things and you're telling people that, you know, just escape. Let me say this. I know that people get goofy about the end times. Let me say this. As long as we're here, we live victoriously. There's nothing wrong with saving for the future. There's nothing wrong with planning your life in advance or anything like that, as long as we're ready to go when Jesus comes. I don't believe we ought to buy food, buy guns, and move to Arkansas. I think that's a bad idea. Okay, so I'm not saying that kind of nutty stuff that some people say. But here's what I'm saying. Jesus said, watch therefore and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape. I didn't say escape. He said escape. And here's what I believe. I believe for those of us who are ready, we escape the tribulation that's coming in the world. He said, pray. Pray. Watch. Be alert. Pray. Don't be like other people who aren't living for me. And pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of those things that are going to happen and stand before the Son of Man. That's what he said. It's going to happen as a snare. Two people standing together, one gone and one left behind. It's going to happen instantly. And when it happens, those people that are left behind still can get saved. That's the good news. The bad news is they have to live under the rule of the Antichrist, who will make Adolf Hitler look like a choir boy. And probably hundreds of millions of people will be martyred for their faith. One judgment in the end times kills one third of mankind. That's one judgment. You don't want to be here. You don't want your family here. That's why you want to be praying for people and witnessing to people. That's what Jesus said. When we're watching, we're living purely. Number two, it keeps us pursuing God. Let me just tell this story because I need to hurry. The 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Jesus tells the signs of the times. He talks about the 10 virgins. He said there'll be 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. Now listen, he's giving a percentage. 50% of the church are the real church, and 50% of those people who call themselves Christians really don't even know God. And I want to comfort your hearts this morning. And you say, well, Jimmy, how can I know? That's his percentage, not mine. He told the story of the 10 virgins. Here's the point. You say, how will I know that I'm going? If you know Jesus, you're going. The title Christian doesn't get you anywhere. Church membership doesn't get you anywhere. The fact that your mama and papa knew Jesus doesn't get you anywhere. The only thing that gets you anywhere is knowing Jesus Christ personally. And the 5 wise virgins knew Jesus personally. The 5 foolish virgins, the bridegroom showed up and said, I don't know you. Christianity is not a club. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number 3, importance of watching is it keeps us peaceful. Keeps our perspective right. Luke 21, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. And I know I'm kind of a strange duck, but I'll just tell you this. When I see all these things happening, I get excited because my Jesus is coming. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't get worried about it. Obviously, when you look at your children and grandchildren and all that stuff, and you look into the future, obviously you don't want your children living in the world where it's going. But I'll just tell you this, and I know a lot of you say, well, I want to see my kids get married. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see this in the future. Those are normal things. Can I tell you something? When you see Jesus, that won't matter. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be saying to Jesus, can I go back? You know, I promise that won't be happening. But it keeps you peaceful. When you look up and you're watching and you have your eyes on heaven, number 4, it keeps us living to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. This is Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark 13, Jesus said, it's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. And to each his work. Can I say something? I don't know how much time we have left here on the earth. Maybe a long time, may not be very long at all. But the main reason that we're here is not to make money or to live to please ourselves. The main reason that we're here is to make disciples of all the nations. The Bible says that he who when souls is wise, and he will shine like the stars forever and ever. Whatever you have here on this earth will be gone forever, instantly, when you die or Jesus comes. But whatever you've done for eternity, whoever you've won to the Lord, whatever you've laid up in heaven is yours for all of eternity.
Thank you for listening. This is the conclusion of the series Bow Down by Jimmy Evans. For more information or additional resources by Jimmy Evans, visit the Marriage Today website at marriagetoday.com.